Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on how to receive God's best was recorded at our 2011 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Praise the Lord. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29. This is a familiar passage of Scripture to some people. I'm going to start teaching this week on how to receive God's best. And before I can actually teach you how to do it, there's some points that need to be made. And I want to use these verses here in Jeremiah chapter 29 to get into this. Most people are aware of Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, some translations will say a hope in a future, and this is stated all different kinds of ways, and those are fine. But I like this because it says to give you an expected end. You know, I've seen some people recently that as they get older, they just get sick, things happen, and they just fall apart. And there's a lot of people that don't have any confidence because they see so many people fail and get Alzheimer's and have things like this happen. And they just think, well, you never can know exactly what's going to happen. No, God's plans are to give you an expected end. He has prophesied things over you that no sickness will come nigh your dwelling. No plague will come nigh your dwelling. It says what we have is superior to what Moses had. And he was 120 years old and his natural force wasn't abated nor his eyesight dim. And I like the way this is stated because you know what? I can say that this is God's plan for my life. And if I will cooperate with it and just trust Him and believe Him, I can have an expected end. I don't have to be fearful about everything going south. I've seen so many ministers, I'm sure you have too, who started out good and then they get caught up in money or with their power and they get into sexual sins, they misappropriate money, they do whatever, and you see so many people fail. You know, there's a tendency for you to think, well, what makes me think I'm going to make it? Because God has a plan for an expected end, and if I'll just cooperate with Him, I can get there. So real quickly, I'm going to do this quickly in the name of Jesus. But let me just real quickly put this into context for you. Go back to the first verse of this 29th chapter. And this is Jeremiah writing to the people who were taken captive and put into exile in Babylon. And so Jeremiah is writing to them. And it says in verse 1, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and to the priest and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon after that Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. Anyway, if I had time, we could go into a whole history lesson here, but this was a bad scene. Nebuchadnezzar actually conquered Jerusalem more than once, and the first time he was pretty gracious unto them and left many of them there, and they rebelled at him, and so he came back and he destroyed everything. He put out the eyes of, I forget the king, I think it was Zechariah, or anyway, don't quote me on this, but the king that resisted him, he actually brought his children in front of him, killed them in front of him, and then put his eyes out so that he would live the rest of his life with this memory burning in his mind. And he took all of the Israelites captive and took them to Babylon. And I mean, he just devastated Jerusalem. It was terrible. And these are the people that Jeremiah was writing to. And the reason I think it's important for you to get this in context is because we turn over here and read Jeremiah 29:11 and just think, oh, God's got great plans for us. And this is for the people who are ministers or the people who are prosperous and the people who everything is going good. But he was writing this to people who were carried captive. They were being treated as second class citizens. They were in a captive land. Everything in their life was bad. It would be comparable to, you know, you may think that we have a few problems now. What would happen if we were conquered by another country? What would happen if the terrorists took over? What happens if they impose Sharia law here and all of us were infidels and they're out killing everybody that they possibly can? And if you were living in a situation like that, that would be the type of people that Jeremiah was writing to. And yet in the midst of this terrible situation, he says that God says, "But I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." It is not God's will for us to suffer and go through these things. It's not God's will for this nation to collapse. It's not God's will for you to be sick. It's not God's will for you to be poor. It's not God's will for you to be oppressed. And yet all kinds of people find themselves in that situation. This is the type of person that Jeremiah was writing to right here. People that were in terrible situations, much worse than any person's situation in this room. And he's saying, "I know the thoughts that God has for you." He was speaking for God. "I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And people just think, well, if that's God's will, then how come I'm in this situation? Look at the next few verses. In verse 12, "Then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, and you shall search for when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." In verse 11, it expresses God's will, but then it starts talking about that you have to seek to find. You have to knock before it's open.
Amen.
You have to ask before it's given. And people say, "Well, I've done all of that." And it says, "You shall seek with all of your heart, and you shall find me when you seek with all of your heart." I've ministered along these lines before and had people come up and say, "But I prayed and asked God for healing and I didn't get healed." Well, all I can say is God's not a liar. And so it must be that you weren't seeking with all of your heart. And the reason I bring these verses out is because as I start talking about how to receive God's best, this is one of the things that I think is so important. Most people aren't really looking for God's best. They might desire it, but they aren't pursuing it. They may ask for it, but they aren't seeking with all of their heart. Another way of saying this is that as long as you can live without God's best, you will. But when you reach a place to where I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'm being sick and tired of being poor and of being sick and of having problems, and I am going to seek with all of my heart, "God, I'm giving you everything that I've got. I am not living this way any longer." You've got to get that kind of an attitude. You've got to get to where there isn't any quit in you, to where there isn't any second best in you. Al and Angie gave a testimony that, you know what, they could have gone with the medical profession and the things that they were saying over them, and yet they knew it was God's best for him to be healed and not have to go through surgery, and not have to go through 10 months or whatever it was of all of these things. And so they just believed for God's best. Did you know most people, they might pray for God's best, they might passively ask for it, but they will settle for less. And as long as you will settle for less than God's best, you will. That's what these verses are saying. Here's my will. They're thoughts of peace. I want to give you an expected end. I want to see you prosper the way that I've prospered other people in the Word. That's God's will. But you will seek and you find when you search with all of your heart. As long as you can live without victory, you will. As long as you can live with sickness, you will. As long as you can live with poverty, as long as you can live with not reflecting Jesus, you will. But when you make a commitment that, you know what, I want God's best. That's a big statement right here. And the Lord woke me up about a month ago and I preached this message all night long during my sleep. And I just felt like this is what God wants me to minister to you. And the very first thing I did, the Lord just kept saying it over and over and over about people aren't looking for God's best. They will settle for second best. You know, I had a man come one time that wanted prayer. And he told me that he had a terrible pain in his neck, and because of it, he couldn't sleep, and he was in constant pain. He was having all kinds of problems. And then he says, and I've got a problem that goes down my spine, and I've got back problems, and he says, I've got hip problems. I've got a sciatic nerve that goes down into my leg and into my foot. And he said, I've got neuropathy. And he just named five or six different things. But then he says, but the pain in the neck is really the hard part. If I could just get God to heal my neck, I can live with the rest of it. And I looked at him and I said, well, I understand. I said, if we asked God to heal your neck, your back, your hips, your leg, your sciatic, your feet, all of those things at one time, the lights in heaven might dim. I'm not sure God could pull that off all at one time. I said, we better just ask for one thing and not impose on him too much. And this guy just looked at me and he said, that was pretty stupid, wasn't it? I said, that was real stupid. I said, why would you settle for back pain if God heals your neck, but you could live with the rest? I said, it's that very attitude that keeps you sick. If you can't say amen, say oh me. You know, there's people right in this room. And again, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not here to condemn anybody. I don't want you leaving here saying, oh, man, I'm not doing this. I'm not believing for God's best and leave condemned. But I'm trying to motivate you that before you can start walking in God's best, you got to get to where that's what you desire. And you aren't willing to live a substandard life. You aren't willing to settle for second best. And I am just appalled. I minister to a lot of people. I talked to a lot of people, and I am appalled at how people aren't even shooting for God's best. I may not obtain everything that God has for me, but you know what? I'm shooting for it. I'm shooting for the stars, and if I miss and hit the moon, that'll be more than most people do. Amen. But there's a lot of people that you're shooting at nothing, and you're hitting it every single time.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to receive God's best. This five-part teaching series was recorded at our 2011 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1072 for CD or R3215D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK162 titled Don't Settle for Less when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come to one of our Gospel Truth seminars. You know, there's people that listen to me on the radio or television every day, and they think, well, I already know what you're going to say. What's the point in going to one of these meetings? But for one thing, you just get the Word at a different level when it's not broken into little 15-minute segments. It makes a huge difference in the way that the Word impacts you. Plus, we have anywhere from 30 to 40 or 50 of our Bible college students, prayer ministers there that minister to people. You get prayer and personal ministry, and it is just a dynamic atmosphere. Charlie and Jill LeBlanc do the praise and worship, and you'd be blessed. So make plans to join me at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.